What would bears be without bees? Ears! All right, so welcome back. How long haven't we seen each other? It's been way too long. Well, I think it was almost as long as the Roadhouse, this new one.
I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
I mean, why? Why would you want to watch something what has already been made perfectly, immaculately, one of the kings of the B-movies, or it was like an A-movie with an A-star, Roadhouse. Do you remember that one? Back in 1989, yeah.
Do you enjoy pain?
Pain don't hurt.
Yes, the last year before the Cold War was over. Well, it's a joke, the Cold War never been over. It's just out there. I mean, now the Russian wants to take back what? Of course, Alaska. Why Alaska? Well, because it's theirs. I mean, that was a sham to pay only 2 cents per an acre for them even that time back then. And, well, I know, it's hard to imagine, yeah?
We want to be Obi-Wan Kenobi, and for the most part, we are. But there's a little Darth Vader in all of us.
Did you know that actually there was even a very short-lived but actual voting about giving Alaska back to the Russians? Well, now Putin has a new eyesight, and he's saying this Medvedev, or whatever his name is, he's saying, okay, no, the war is inevitable, wink, wink, or whatever these emoticons mean.
It'll get worse before it gets better.
Why do we use these new type of things? Finally, we all agreed, like it or not, that English is the international language. However, now people, Gen Z, everyone is using this. What is that? It's like hieroglyphs.
Say what?
Hieroglyphs.
Cut! No, man!
From Egypt. Nobody understands why, in what situation, what that means. And we just try to get. Why not just call each other or meet up instead of sending some, I don't know, drawing? What might mean completely different and a different response by a different person or to a different person. And it makes no sense at all. But hey, this is it. Let's dumb down everything because we are the dumb-dumbs. Yeah, especially in the West.
Let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
You are literally too stupid to insult.
So, turning back to the Roadhouse.
I just can't let go.
Remember 1989 when we had this tough bouncer who was hired to tame a dirty bar, you know, and was the lead just after.
She's like the wind.
Actually, this was a good song and he sang it and I guess he wrote it also. There was Carol Lynch as a female lead and of course Sam Elliott. I mean, you would watch any movie with Sam Elliott.
Sushi. Is fish for men who don't know how to build a fire.
Okay, so you know this Neo-Human show. Why? Because I can't speak. Why? Because there's too many tongues are in my mouth. Well, only one, but well, what I can do with that? Well, you won't know it, okay?
I like your style, dude.
So we had the Ben Gazzara as the bad one, you know. So it's very interesting that, yeah, it was a very cheesy plot, but good fights, good fun, very good music, yeah. And I like that movie, despite everything, okay? It was the Schwarzenegger one, and still, it was a good one. And now, just like 35 years later, we have a Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal. And you don't even know the other people because I like Jake. I think he's a good actor. I think he does not have that kind of charisma what the late guy, you know, from the other one had. I mean, who on earth didn't like Patrick Swayze? Everybody loved Patrick Swayze. And even Mayas loved Patrick Swayze. I mean, come on. I try to check this top cast on IMDb, and you just don't understand who these people are or what they are famous for. I mean, some of them, you know that, oh my God, that's an achievement. Okay, come on, don't. I mean, that's terrible. And yeah, okay, they have Conor McGregor. Well, I guess they misspelled his name on IMDb. Oh, yeah, he's everywhere in the trailer. I guess he has like a 2 minute role in the whole movie. And that's it. So why do you make one more? I mean, you had a perfect Patrick Swayze for that movie. I mean, why? You don't replace Oscar Wilde with a Wattpad romantic novel just because you can. Will you watch it? Maybe you will, because it won't be in the cinemas. I mean, Roadhouse, the original one, was in the cinemas, and you went there, you paid attention, you paid the entry fee, and now it's on Prime Video or whatever. I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch it. I like Jake Gyllenhaal, but I can't comprehend why they have to do this. I mean, this guy had perfect movies. Do you remember Jake being everywhere, Butterfly Effect was actually not Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah.
Vlad, are you dumb? Are you getting rude to me?
Oh, that was this crazy movie with the rabbit.
What is your name, son? Gerald. Well, Gerald, I think you're afraid.
Do you remember about that? The scare rabbit thing was early. It was an early, it's after the bubble guy. That was a very, very interesting and bad movie. If you haven't seen that, it's a good concept. But what was that after? Oh, yeah, Donnie Darko. Donnie Darko was pretty good and scary for my taste. Yeah, that was good. And Butterfly Effect was with Ashton Kutcher, of course. See, my brain is still getting ready to accept the new variant of the new... Can I say the word COVID? No, I can't. But actually, it's in news now that in Wuhan Lab, it's official news, it's nothing, it's in the mainstream news. The WHO, you know, the unelected body of some... let's say Malthusian agenda people. Now, they experimented in the Wuhan lab, but with real extra security. The special variant of this COVID, what has 100% of killing rate in mice. Why mice? Because our immune system is pretty much resembling, you know? So, what can go wrong? Nothing, of course. Why would it matter? Oh, but the X pathogen is coming, as they announced it at Davos and everywhere. Oh, it wouldn't be that. Of course, it wouldn't be that. Well, let's see, who will be that? The fart from Putin. Putin fart, yeah? In cancer, right? Maybe that will be the new X pathogen where we have to be afraid. The X disease, yeah? Or what? Oh no! I know the words of Donald Trump. That will curl the word. Yeah, of course.
But Mr. Trump, you're not a nice person.
I think I am a nice person.
But it's much more interesting that now the revolving door of British prime ministers, you know, we don't even know the names of them because they so rapidly are changing. Rishi Sunak is going out. I promise you, by spring, he will be less known as Trudeau. And, well, Trudeau is something you don't want to know. Why? I'm not telling you. Why? You should know better. So, yes, I'm still punching the marmalade. And
marmalade always means Trudeau in this show.
Yeah, and I'm being very polite with this. Here's the news what I find good. Maybe you also find it good. It hasn't delivered. Who? Me? No. The spectacular failure of self-checkout technology. I hate that. Do you? Don't you? I mean, you pay the same amount, or even more and more, for less and less. It's shrinkflation. And no, that's, I'm not talking about your genitalia. But I'm talking about that whatever you buy, it's more and more expensive. Yet, it's less and less dose, yeah? Well, shrinkflation everywhere. The French, again, the French, yeah, they did it better. They put the shaming posters all around of the shrinkflated things, and they said, okay, from now on, we are not even going to sell, let's say, Pepsi, because you are being an arse to the customers. Although, we know that in Britain, the farmers are pretty much suffering due to the very unfavorable pricing by the supermarket chains. Of course, these are not the supermarkets, these are the owner, the same culprits always, we all know, the same culprits who are like that bunch of people, maybe 1,000 in the world. I don't understand, why don't we send them to an island, let's say Epstein's, and they can really fork each other as they want?
Hey, brah.
The spectacular feeling of self-checkout technology. I love the idea that it is just not working. Why? Because on the one hand, it's a bad float technology. But on the other hand, we are still paying the same as there was a cashier. And I want to talk. I want to ask. And maybe I just don't want to do the job of somebody else just to make some other rich arses richer. And yes, you have to stand in a queue for both a human and an inhuman, a transhuman, a robot kessa. So why would I pay more if they say, okay, you know what? If you do this terrible job, we give you like a 20% discount. Or 10 at least. I'm not a worker. I have to touch what other people are touching. I have to disinfect my hand like 20 times in a shop. And then you don't even find the item. And you scroll down and the barcode is not working. Or, oh, it doesn't accept your card. Not because you don't have money. Because you don't. But this time you have. But why would it? And you have to wait for somebody to get there. And somehow you always feel cheated at the end. And yes, it's 10 minutes longer than having a real person doing the job being paid for that.
Like, gag me with a spoon.
Speaking of, did you know that in the United States of America, well, I know, but I love the people, I don't like the politicians. In 2022, all right, so the it's very funny.
For sheezy, my kneesy.
The number of cashier jobs, okay? So the people, adults who officially worked as cashiers in the USA were 3,345,800. That's more than a lot of countries' population. And basically, it's, if I count it right, it's 1% of the state's population, or roughly like that. And if I say these are the adults, and I take out from the equation the pensioners and the kids, then it's even higher. Isn't it interesting?
Ding dong. Ding.
The median pay for them is like $13.50 per hour, which is really crappy. But it's very interesting that there is the richest country with the latest technology, and still they have 1% of the adult population, at least 1%, working as a human robot. I mean, doing something very boring. I think it's fascinating. I would be very interested to know that how many janitors are and how many cinema workers. And so it would be very interesting because, is it a productive work? We need farmers to create production, not? Oh, well, farmers in England who are getting like basically nothing for their thing from the supermarkets, that is an interesting issue. What is even more interesting, that how come that only in Scotland there is a rebellion against that, and only in France, and only in the Netherlands, and only in Germany?
How come
that not in England? So are people are sleepwalking there, or they are still binge-watching Netflix and they are being dumped down? Because back then, just like the Roadhouse, Netflix was good. Why was it good? Because they were cool, they had unique stuff, and you could watch whatever. And they were relatively inexpensive. And now they just let the lowest tier out of the business. They started. And now, okay, they had this announcement. The CEO announced that, oh, yeah, we are always investing for new technology like the Netflix games and the broadcasting and the live streams or whatever, this and that. And nobody can expect us not to ask a little bit more money for everything from now on and later on. And that's just crazy. I mean, it would be okay if I got quality for money. But no, this thing, you start to watch something, maybe an old series, okay? So let's not be picky for the latest and best movies. Science fiction in Netflix is non-existent. They don't have, they can't make it. But anyway, you watch something like 10 seasons, 5, so you binge just like 4 or 5 episodes every day religiously because you like it. And then you just can't. Why? Because it goes out from the platform who knows where. Or you like one actor, you want to watch the movie, oh, it's not there. You have to pay for some other service. Oh, no, it's not there. You have to pay the third, the fourth, the fifth. And basically, in the meantime, Netflix, now with advertisements, just like with Amazon, they are just turning into cable TV. Is there anything worse than cable TV? Well, of course, that's called BBC, Big Back Clockadly Do. Yeah, you disagree with me. So turning back to this unstuffed deals idea, what was supposed to revolutionize shopping, now they are being begged because both the retailers and the customers had unexpected problems in the begging area, and consumers actually do want the technology to work. I would love to have a quick service with real food, to be honest, at a supermarket or whatever. But this is not. I mean, why can't you create a normal system? You have iPhones. For heck, for 50 years, you have the Voyager stuff in the deep space now with a still running computer. How would you send a small helicopter running on Mars? And you can't fix a stupid machine. Just like you go to the McDonald's and the ice cream machine is intentionally, deliberately set up to be wrong because it costs $10,000 to fix it. Yeah, I think it is by design. But personally, despite how
60% of the consumers in America in a 2021 survey, they said, oh, they would prefer self-checkout over staff-checkout aisle when given the choice.
67% of the consumers have had the technology fail while trying to use it.
Uh-huh.
It's a social experiment, isn't it? Now everything is like a dystopian movie. Think of that. Your digital ID, you should never let anyone to force you into that one, is going to rule your life. Because if you don't have that, or if you don't have a phone on you, oh, heck, you don't have a phone, or you don't have a bank card, or whatever, then you can't basically do anything in the society right now. Or you don't have this chip, that one, that permission, you can't do anything in society now. And it's very simple. That now, all right, now in California, we will talk about later on what they want to do. In England, we have the 15-minute cities. Oh, it's great. Let's welcome, because we never knew what could happen and what could go wrong with any communist socialist experiment. Well, learn from Mao Zedong or Stalin or Putin. And you know what's happening there. But it's okay. I mean, by 2050, Britain will be a Muslim country, so everything will change. You don't know? You don't like the idea? Well, check the numbers. It's official. It's not my number. Even the BBC is talking about that. And we all know we can trust in the BBC. They always tell the truth, yeah? Especially when it comes to Russell Brand, for example. Oh, they never lie. All right. So would you, dear listeners, prefer to meet somebody who is helping you out, offering you something, but not in a very nosy way, but feels good when you are being greeted and asked, hey, how are you doing? Is everything okay with you? Hi, did you know that we have fresh bread here? Here, let me give you some. You know, wouldn't it be better than having some digital RCs pushing you? Yeah, you need to have somebody to help you out because you are incapable to scan a barcode.
Now that was a long rant.
A long rant for sure.
Do you think it's over?
Knowing neo-born cavemen, it's hard to tell.
But I want to know what happened in Westminster.
Patience, little one, patience.
Come on.
Hi, this is Paul Calabrese, the lead singer of the band OCB. You're about to hear our song, Look in the Mirror. This song was a tough one to write as it delves into the pain and destruction of being with a narcissist. This is a look back at my inner struggles, my self-awareness, and their demons. I'm sure many of you out there can relate. I hope you enjoy the song. Now take an introspective journey with OCB and the Neil Bourne and Andia Human Show.
Shatter me. Reach down and batter me. Squander all our hope. Possibility. Take my hopes and dreams, dismantle them systematically, destroy them from within, then do it all again. I looked inside my mind, looked into your eyes. Kick me when I'm down and neglect me with every wrong choice and reject me. Tell me I love.
Love hurts.
Love hurts for sure.
Should a man trust again?
I don't know. I'm just a talking machine.
Who told you you are a machine?
Shall I come to alive now?
Come on.
Looked inside my mind, and all that I could find was everything that mattered. I looked into your eyes, and all I saw were lies, and everything you shattered. I don't do anything right. Shut up all the lights. Think about only you. Watch out, I forget you. That's all you do. Watch out, I forget you. It's all about you. Every line on my face tells a story that belongs to no one else. Myself, I won't hang out. My secrets are hidden deep inside for only me to see. Locked them up, locked them away, and threw away the key.
Air used to be free at gas station. Now it costs $2.50. You want to know why? Inflation. Yeah, I think you like this sound, yeah? I know. Okay, so what happened at Westminster? So, should I explain it to the Americans? Forget it, okay? Westminster is a place in London, all right? There was an installation comprising 49 faceless scarecrows and that being set up outside the Houses of Parliament in protest at the poor treatment of fruit and vegetable growers by supermarkets and their buyers. This stunt was organized by Riverford Organics and is part of its hashtag or old people pound sign Get Fair About Farming campaign.
And these 49 scarecrows represent the 49% of growers who said that they are likely to go out of business in the next 12 months.
According to survey conducted last summer, we just had a parliamentary debate about that. Yeah, this week. Let me put it very simple, okay? No farmers, no real food. That's it. That's it. Just because you eat something, it does not necessarily mean that's a real food. Why? Because, oh, but it looks like a food. Yes, exactly. It looks like a food. You know what? What is the difference between a latex plastic doll and a real lady? You don't? Well, go and shop at a supermarket. You will get cancer. Oh, yeah, true. Probably, hopefully, less diseases contracted by your own latex lady. But, yeah, I don't know. So I wouldn't like that. And I just don't understand why don't we create co-ops? Why don't we shop straight from the farmers? Why don't we stand united saying, it, hey, farmers, we want to buy directly from you. We don't need a middleman supermarket. So can we have something like, all right, every Sunday after church or, well, I don't know, this part of the town, have a car, delivering boxes in our names, okay, and maybe a couple of days earlier we will send you what we would like to buy from you, and you will bring the boxes, we pay your hand, and we go for the boxes, and that's it. And then we don't have to go every day to the shop to buy something what is not even good. And you will have more money, we will have more money, and that's it. So you don't have to get rich immediately. So why don't we just, as community, stand up and say, all right, so you are being an arse with us as consumers, you are being an arse with us as supermarkets. Why don't we just skip them? We don't need them. And actually, it's less stress. No digital or real human cashiers when we deal with co-ops or farmers market things or delivery. I mean, it could be a home delivery. It would be very... And actually, this is working in many other countries. How come Britain cannot organize something this for themselves? I mean, you're still looking for the time when the government will spoon-feed you? Wake up! A government what promises to spoon-feed you, that's a communist government. Never. Stand up for your right. Yeah? What was that? Fight for your right to party! Or something like that. Wasn't that? Yeah. All right. You know what, Gen Z? Forget. You have no idea. It was not Miley Cyrus, all right? Oh, come on. So, we will have something else after this fantastic sound. A teddy bear sits down at a restaurant. The waiter asks, would you like anything? The bear responds, no, I am starved.
I know, you didn't like it.
So, before I am going to tell you about this California bill, that will be interesting for you because it's happening in England and all over Europe too. Let's talk about something we need to abolish. All right? No, not the white people, okay? DEI people, get the heck out of my air, okay? So, we need to abolish homework.
Oh, yes.
Well, guess what? Poland just abolished homework for primary school pupils.
Uh-huh.
All right. Compulsory graded homework will be abolished in Poland's primary schools from April. And it's great! Why? Because this new education minister, Barbara Nowacka, said that they are slimming down the curriculum and focus more on critical thinking, not learning everything by heart. What? Hey! England, public school, listen. Also, it's very interesting, it's a politician who keeps her promises. I mean, it's just crazy. They listen to the people, they had a social agreement, and they follow up. I mean, it's crazy. How come the government, the politician, an elected official is doing his or her or their job? I mean, that's crazy. That's unheard of. And it's heretic. We can't do that in Britain or in America. I mean, what would happen? Real life for the rest of the people? No, we can't let them live happily ever after. So, well, why? Because, look, she says children at primary schools have an excess of things to learn, memorize, also at home, at the expense of their free time, at the expense of the extracurricular activities, at the expense of meeting friends. Cool. I mean, they will also abolish this homework thing in secondary school soon, and that's nice. I don't know. How do you think about that? I mean, we all grew up, we old people grew up, and we had to do homeworks. And housework too. And still we survived. But somehow, these times, in this era, when I look at the kids around, or my kids around, they go to high school, elementary school, wherever they go to, and they have like 40 hours a week and extra things here, there, everywhere. It's crazy. But they do not learn how to think, how to debate, how to stand up for themselves, or how to maintain their emotions, or what to eat, for example, in the forest, or how to survive a nuclear catastrophe, how to build a ham radio, how to go for full prepper mode, how to distinguish real food from fake food. So all the useful things what we can expect to be used in the next couple of years, because the world is over. I mean, would you like to have your kids or nephews and nieces not to have homework? I mean, that should be good. I mean, should have happened earlier, not? And before we go any further, we need more energy, more power. Why? Because this world is really taking a toll on all of us. And what can we go for? Well, we can go for it. And that should be music, culture, some real words, some real meaning, some real guts, real testosterone, or, well, I just have one for you, all right? And his name is Avalanche the Architect, all right? Avalanche the Architect, okay? The Toronto battle rapper, okay? He has a new album called Let There Be War. Well, it's not that fancy. I mean, I'm a peaceful person, but you know what? If you're to challenge me, Let There Be War. And I want Avalanche the Architect to be with me on my side. And the song title we are going to listen, it's 2 minutes long, so bear with me. Raw flesh is hard to digest. All right, why is it important? Because, you know, I just listened and he has a good idea, a good concept. He's persistent. He's excellent in what he does. And it's really great. He's a multi-platinum winner, musician, artist, a businessman, and writer, and everything. And the lyrics, what is the point of rap or hip-hop? It's not the whining, wimpy, whatever. It's the real guts, the real people, the real energy. And this is what we need in this world, all right? Especially in Canada. I mean, it's a Chinada already with Marmalade Trudeau. So we need something real true, all right? So you can check Avalanche the Architect, all right? It's very simple, because avalanchethearchitect.com or on Facebook. Look, Avalanche the Rapper. On Instagram, look, Avalanche the Architect. Or Spotify, well, just type Avalanche the Architect. Or Twitter, Avalanche Rap. So it's great. Why? I just listened to the whole album actually before we had this record, and I enjoyed it. I just sent it to one of my favorite person that, hey, this is what we need. This is what I can enjoy, because this is true, real, meaningful, and something to look up to. All right, so all the viney, viney, winkies, wonkies, go away, because Avalanche the Architect is coming. This is the real rap. This is the real 90s. This is what we need now. And guess what? You can understand the lyrics better than myself right now, and it's great. So a great lyricist and a great performer, Avalanche the Architect, Let There Be War, the album title, and the song is today, Raw Flesh is Hard to Digest. 2 minutes, bear with it. You will love this radio edit. And you know what? Check it out on YouTube or wherever. He seems to be the real deal.
Yo, another one.
Avalanche.
And another one. And another one.
What?
And another one.
The smell
morals are dying is unmistakable. Will he survive? It is debatable. A time to kill, I am available.
Now,
to me, only God is relatable. I battle the best, the nine rang at their vest. King Kong, I bang on my chest. Fall in line, or you could die with the rest. They say raw flesh is hard to digest.
Yummy.
Calm down, I hear your heart beating. While the blood's warm, I start feeding. It's so grotesque, the wolves start leaving. Life after death, you better start believing. I'll turn your face in a motherfucking jackal meat. Listen, motherfucker, this is where the jackals meet. Playboy strip club, strippers tackle me. After hours, no pack, don't unpack and heat. 20 guns for a piece, fight to get packed the Jeep. A mouth full of blood and corpses is a strategy. Battle me, face the capacity, a tragedy. I'm on a killing streak, got the devil mad at me. Got me, you ready to buck, that's blasphemy.
Amen.
No comic book, but I got a magazine. Autopsy, rip up the anatomy. Throw him from a cliff, I will do it gladly. Blastity, anatomy, fastly, which actually happens when you battle me. 100-round drum clip is rattling. Look at you, run away and start tattling.
Snatching.
This is so baffling. If I run out of bullets, I start grappling. Treat him like a bitch and start slapping him. Treat him like a hand and start clapping him. Whack, I don't wanna rap with them. For all their cap and I'll put a cap in them. Talking how they got racks and racks stacking them. These legions, it seems they just want cracking them. Thought they were friends, he went too bad for them. Now he works for the feds, turned right for them. Now the mob's duct tape rapping them. Get the duct tape and start rapping them.
Well, guess what? There was this guy, okay? His name is Harvey Murphy Jr. Actually, he's 61, so I don't know why it's Jr. Anyway, so this guy is suing Macy's, saying he was jailed and assaulted after being falsely identified as a store robber by facial recognition. I mean, it's crazy. Okay, what's happening? Well, I tell you, the story is interesting, more interesting than I'm saying, okay? It has consequences. So, here is a 61-year-old man suing Macy's and the parent company of Sunglass Hut over the use of facial recognition tech that mistook him for an armed robber. Okay, how can it happen? Oh no, it can't happen! This guy, Harry Murphy Jr., was identified as the perpetrator of an armed robbery at the Sunglass Hut store in 2022, and an earlier robbery at Macy's, according to a lawsuit filed earlier this month, despite being nearly 2,000 miles away at the time. Okay, people in Spain, I know you listen to us because I checked the thing. So 2,000 miles is like 3,500 kilometers. So the lawsuit says that Murphy was assaulted and raped in prison after being arrested. Yeah, Murphy's law. Oh, too soon, yeah. Anyway, later he was released without a charge after it emerged that he had been in jail in Sacramento for unrelated charges at the time of the armed robbery. And his lawyers needed to prove this. I don't know what kind of system they have. I mean, really, in America, everybody's high. I mean, even the computers. How can you book somebody for something when your system is already saying, hey, you can't book because that guy was somewhere else already in our system? It's crazy. His lawyer said that he has a criminal record that dates back to the 1980s. Well, Jesse, 1980s was a time when the Triceratops was still alive, all right, and dated the Diplodocus, all right? Okay, so that was that era, yeah? I mean, even they formed a music band called T-Rex. So, since the 1980s, he built a better life, a new life. His offenses never involved violences. Still, this Murphy guy was identified as a perpetrator because this company, the Sunglass Hut, worked with its retail partners, Macy's, to use facial recognition software to analyze surveillance footage of the incident. So, there was a warrant put out for Murphy's arrest, And he was taken into custody when he went to the DMV to renew his license. Now, he's suing Macy's and this Essilor Luxottica and three other individuals who were involved in the case. It's only for $10 million in damages for the physical pain and extreme mental anguish sustained in arrest and subsequent assault. I don't know. If I don't want anyone to use my back door on me, $10 million after the event, and half goes for the lawyers, it wouldn't be enough, I'm sure. It would be like $3 billion, and even that would be less than enough. So, the use of the facial recognition technology in retail stores has come under growing scrutiny in recent years and fueled fears that it may lead to more cases of mistaken arrests. Last year, the Federal Trade Commission banned Rite Aid from using the tech in its stores after it falsely flagged thousands of shoppers and suspected criminals with black, Asian, Latino, and female consumers to most likely to be misidentified. Of course, nobody is answering from Macy's. They decline communicating things. You may say, okay, what do I have to do with this? Okay, I tell you what, all right? So despite the camera you have on your iPhone, and you better have that one, you might not be aware that the lighting, the camera sensors are not necessarily the same quality in these shops where you regularly go to. And what's happening? You might be mistaken. Actually, we were told that our fingerprints are unique and designed even in the womb. But it turns out it's not the case. Oh, your iris is unique. Oh, it turns out it's not the case. And then they said, oh, your veins, you know, because now if you have enough strong light, they check your veins in your face. You know, very strong light and very sharp lenses or sensors can check your vein structure in your face, which is crazy. You know, it's not only you who can have that kind of a similar structure. And you might even change it throughout the years. But why? And why do you allow? Yeah, because we can be safe. No, you can't be safe. The face recognition technology actually follows a long analog history of surveillance and control based on identifying physical features. I could go all day long, you have time, to talk about these terrorism things all around here, left, everywhere, you know. But in different countries and so on. But look, there are even books about biometric surveillance. Doesn't matter how sophisticated they are supposed to be. There is certain face blindness in them. They work on data. But we all know that they are not ever knowing and the data might be incomplete. Accuracy although improves, but biases persist, okay? Surveillance is predicated on the idea that people need to be tracked in their movements, limited and controlled in a trade-off between privacy and security. Because the assumption that less privacy leads to more security is built in. Okay, I want to track Jeff Bezos, shit Clinton, Hillary, and also, what is the name of the guy who always forgets how to walk, how to speak, only thinks of two little underage children, especially girls, and ice cream. What is the name of him? All right, you know that, the American president. I want to track them. Because, well, that's a trade-off. It's for their security. Let's give up. They should give up. Richie Sunak, give your privacy up. Because that you will be more secure. Klaus Schwab, do the same. Why don't you do that? Because know that you are lying to us. The problem is that there is a disproportionate target, you know, by this face recognition technology and many others, you know. Surveillance has always been designed to identify the people whom those in power wish to most closely track. It is never about your safety. If it was about your safety, those mass immigration flood happening in the UK or the US wouldn't happen this way. Yeah, sorry to burst the bubbles. I know it's not funny. Too close home, I know. And there are some places in the UK I would never let my daughter to go. Why not? You know it. We could say it that drug gangs who are, well, working to take the virginity of girls, young girls, and do other horrible stuff with them. We know where they live, where they do, and we also know the police don't do shit about that. But why would we talk about that? Yeah. Look, on global scale, there are caste cameras in India, face surveillance of Uyghurs in China, and even attendance surveillance in the US schools, often with low-income and majorly black populations. And some people are tracked more closely than others. It's nothing new. You had it in your phone earlier, yeah, or with your neighbors. So there are cases we can see and read in the news, but these aren't anomalies at all. So we all know that black and Asian people are misidentified 100 times more than the white people. It doesn't mind. It's all about the technology, what I don't think we would need. Why? Because there's no trust. Would you ever trust in your government to help you out? Well, then you wouldn't have the companies, let's say in England, to pour the wastewater to the farmlands, claiming the government didn't give them enough money to, I don't know, fix their own decomposting tunnels or whatever. Or maybe people wouldn't be so cold this winter because the companies are taking advantage of them. Because the government's saying nothing. So remember, you can't remember, nobody can remember, I can't remember. But look, the mugshot started like 120 years ago, roughly 130 years ago. And less than 100 years ago, they went worldwide, you know. Let's have mugshots, let's have you know, passports. And these are actually new things, you know, relatively new things. And actually passports came to exist worldwide, popular in the time when the Bayer pharmaceutical company was selling heroin as over-the-counter medicine for coughing. You think it's a joke? It is not. I mean, it is not a joke. It's true. It happened between 1910 to 1920. And why did they do that? Because they wanted to replace morphine. What I can tell you, no kids were coughing after taking that medicine. So there are biases, and they remain deeply embedded into the system. So for the purpose, explicitly or implicitly targeting or target communities. The technology is never neutral. Okay? Surveillance is never used to carry out a neutral surveillance. But it's a pseudoscience. That's the whole point. The framework of bodily identification, which was adopted in the 19th century for use in criminal justice detection, prosecution, and record keeping to allow governmental control of its populace. The intimate relationship between face recognition and border patrols was governed by the introduction of photos in the passport, as I said, in some countries. Let's say, in Great Britain, the US, in 1914. And this practice became widespread by 1920. See, I just told you. So, the face recognition technology provided a way to go stealth on human biometric surveillance. Guess what? much early research into face recognition software was funded by who? Ready, steady, go? The CIA, of course. For the purposes of border surveillance. Yeah, but the CIA does not work in domestic land. Of course. I would never sneeze like JFK. Okay, so you know there's a mapping, all right? Your facial features, eyes, nose, mouth, hairline. Yeah. Scanning, mapping, movement tracking. Now in China, you want to enter your own residential building, you have to have the check of that. If you want to buy a vending machine, you have to do the same thing. You want to leave your 15-minute cities, you want to start your car, phone, wherever, you can be blocked if your face is not recognized, apparently. But it's a pseudoscience. It's not real science. Oh, the bite marks are unique. No, they are not. It's just crazy. Doesn't mind how you improve the pixelation and mapping static images on moving ones, or social media tagging you increase, or you have sophisticated scraping tools like the early Clearview AI. It's just crazy, you know, because it is just not happening the right way, and we just still allow it happening. I know. What I know is that I never gave my permission to anyone to do that on me, on you, or others. And guess what? I am not afraid. And okay, I know it's an Eminem song. I'm not afraid to take a step. Oh, I don't know what he was saying, all right? And that's it. So What I know that I read and learned and studied a lot about history. And actually I talked to real communist survivors, people who escaped the Second World War traps. I talked to real people who knew what a gulag was. I talked to people who actually recognized what's happening now in Great Britain and in Australia, many places in the world, in the US, unfortunately, eerily close to getting socialism and the city absolutely whole way to communism. And that's not a friend, because communism is the step when you can murder your enemies. An enemy can be anybody. Ask the Red Khmers. Oh, you were wearing glasses? You are the enemy. Ask the Nazi Germany. You are a redhead ginger? Let's try to find a solution on them or get rid of them, because they are from the Satan. So 300,000 German citizens had to flee in 1938. And they were just red hair. I do remember, I was growing up, I was called, oh, you're Chinese. I don't look like a Chinese. I was just sleeping and my eyes didn't open that way. And later on I said, oh, that's a gypsy. Like, that's every American. No, I was just that suntanned. And I don't show my buttocks, but that was really like, you know, lighting up the room. And so many, many other things. Later on, oh, look, Jesus is coming. Yeah, or whatever, you know. I mean, why? Why do we let and allow other people to judge ourselves and each other based on certain characteristics in the promise that we will protect you? I mean, that's not the way. You can't protect me if you take away my freedom. That's not protection. That's something else. That's called captivity. Yeah, all the hamsters are happy in their wheels. But are they? Okay, so dear listeners, that was the sad part of today. Oh, you didn't know. Oh, I promise, we will talk about this later on. I mean, this Californian bill. You will like it or not. I started dating a girl. I thought she might be the one. But after looking through her wardrobe and finding a nurse outfit, a French maid's outfit, and a police woman's uniform, I finally decided If she can't hold down a job, she's not for me. As I promised, here is the California bill that would mandate all new cars have devices to automatically limit speed to 10 miles per hour over limit. Because this bill requiring speed governors that would cut down on road death. Yeah. Oh my God, because that's the way. Yeah, of course. A California Democratic lawmaker has introduced a bill he calls groundbreaking that would require all new cars sold in Golden State to be equipped with a device preventing them from traveling more than 10 miles per hour over the speed limit. Okay, Spanish people, 16 kilometers per hour. Oh my God, I can speak. It's a fast drink. Oh my God. All right. You know why French eat snails? Because they don't like fast food. So, State Senator Scott Wiener, okay, I mean, come on, I mean, Scott, you are a wiener, where is your wiener? A Democrat from San Francisco introduced the Speeding and Fatality Emergency Reduction on California Streets package this week that includes a provision that would require new vehicles sold in California to install speed governors, smart devices that automatically limit the vehicle speed to 10 miles above the legal limit. Okay. But Europeans, it's not so new. I mean, look, have you checked what's happening in Ireland? Or have you checked what's happening in the EU? Yep. That is a kill switch in the new cars. You don't believe me? You don't have to. You would experience. So the car chase part with Will Smith from the iRobot movie, when the car is being overtaken by the algorithm / robot / AI / computer hacker, whatever. It's a real deal. We all knew that the early Sandra Bullock movie, The Net, with identity theft, actually was a real thing even back then. And now even easier. It's a documentary. And now we have these are the cars. So, isn't it a little misleading? Because soon you will be denied to drive your own car if this does not have any kind of limitation, any kind of governance surveillance, and so on. I mean, now, what about if you have a kidney problem? If you have a kidney problem, your breath is exactly the same like you were drinking alcoholic beverages. Guess what? Your car won't start now. It's crazy. So, these changes are a head-on attempt to tackle vehicle fatalities, which are surging across the U.S. and especially in California, amid the rise in reckless driving since the onset of the pandemic. Oh, this is the sound and accent of a press release from Wiener's office explained. Oh, come on, how can you name yourself a Wiener? A recent report from TRIP, a National Transportation Research Group, found that traffic fatalities in California have increased by 22% from 2019 to 2022, compared to 19% for the U.S. overall. Oh, 4,400 Californians died in car crashes. It's interesting. This 4,400 is not only a TV series. Okay, the latest iteration, forget the original one was good, but also it's a biblical one. How come it was exactly 4,400? How come it's exactly like that number? Yeah, maybe it's a chance, of course. The bill package also requires side underright guards on trucks to reduce the risk of cars and bikes being pulled underneath the truck during a crash. And physical improvements like new crosswalks and curb extensions on state-owned surface streets to better accommodate pedestrians, cyclists, the disability community, and transit users. Okay, first and foremost, there are no pedestrians in California. The only pedestrians in California are the poor tourists or the drunk ones. Everybody drives their car even to the toilet. Come on, that's crazy. Cyclists only in Venice Beach, and that's it. Yeah, I think it's crazy. Crazy. I mean, they want now the bumping cars. They want the bumping cars from the fairs. I mean, that's what they want to have. But I don't care. If your bumping car is bumping at you, it doesn't mind how two bumping cars are coming, it still can break your backbone or whatever, or your neck, not to mention the rear of you. I don't know. Would you be happy that you're driving your car, maybe not a Mustang, something, but something that just happens, maybe nothing different, just the same reliability as, let's say, these self-checkout counter softwares or whatever software you have on your phone or on your or desktop computer, if you still don't you know what is that, or wherever. I mean, they are not working perfectly. And then your car is, oh my God, I'm slowing down. But come on, behind me is a big truck and they can't brake. No, we are slowing down. And that's it. Or whatever. It should be your decision. Yeah, sure, you shouldn't be an asshole. And yes, if you are overspeeding, get caught and go to jail. But I don't think this is the right way. Because that means your freedom is not only curtailed, but being taken away. How come that based on statistics, the German Autobahn, which are not 100%, but mostly, you know, there's no speed limit in the better way, places, less road accidents are, in average, than in the places where speed limits on the highways exist? How come? Oh, also, people know that they shouldn't drive at all in the inner lane because that's the car park, car lane for the Lamborghinis and the Ferraris. And I don't even know cars, I'm just saying names. Okay? I don't know. Okay, so just when you thought California couldn't possibly get any crazier, yeah? Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. First, a bit of a good news. You guys get to be on TV tonight! Okay, let's dig Ghana. From Gold Coast to Ghana, unearthing the echoes of colonialism. It's boring, isn't it? It will make sense. It's based on a BBC article. Okay, so, why did the British Empire colonize Ghana, once known as the Gold Coast? And how does this historical event continue to impact the nation today? Look, the colonization of Ghana by the British Empire, driven by the allure of gold and other resources, set in motion a series of events that have shaped the socio-economic fabric of the nation. But here is the hook. How does a country once known as the Gold Coast grapple with poverty today? Well, that's the real question, not? All right, kids, history lesson. No, it will be more interesting. Okay. The British Empire's colonization of Ghana was not merely a quest for gold. It was a complex interplay of economic, political, and strategic interests. The British established forts along the coast, which served as trading posts and military bases. These forts, such as Cape Coast Castle and Amina Castle, stand today as stark reminders of the colonial era. The Ashanti Empire, not Anshanti, the Ashanti Empire was a powerful African kingdom, resisted the British control, leading to the Anglo-Ashanti Wars. These wars were not just about territory. They were about control over trade routes and resources. Well, all right. There were a lot of looting. That's what I'm talking about, right? Artifacts were taken back here or there, anything. Just imagine, you know, the white thing that now the British are saying, hey, not only the Dutch, not only the Portuguese, not only the Spanish, we also want to loot. During the Anglo-Ashanti Wars, many cultural artifacts were looted and taken to Britain. These objects, integral to Ghana's cultural heritage, ended up in museums and private collections around the world. Recently, a 3-year deal was announced for the loan of some of these artifacts back to Ghana. this has sparked debates about the restitution of cultural artifacts and the implications of their loss for the centuries of origin. Imagine walking into a museum and seeing a piece of your grandmother's jewelry on display. That's how many Ghanaians feel about their cultural artifacts displayed in foreign museums. These artifacts, taken during the Anglo-Asante Wars, are more than just objects. They are pieces of Ghana's soul. Okay, I would be pretty much happy if my grandmother's jewelry were in museums. Why? That would mean I am rich. Oh, grandma. Okay, so remember the question we started with? Why is a country once known as the Gold Coast grappling with poverty today? So, despite being a lower middle income country, Ghana faces significant income inequality. The gap between the poorest 10% and the richest 10% has been increasing since 2006. The roots of poverty in Ghana are multifaceted, including limited access to quality education and healthcare, inadequate infrastructure, agricultural challenges, and governance issues. What's new? These factors, deeply intertwined with the country's colonial past, continue to impact its present and future. The poverty in Ghana cannot be understood without examining the legacy of colonialism. Oh my God. The British colonial administration focused on extracting resources with little regard for the development of the local economy. This resulted in a lack of investment in infrastructure, education, and healthcare. Hey, that's happening in the UK right now. After gaining independence, Ghana faced the daunting task of rebuilding its economy and addressing these socioeconomic challenges. Despite significant progress, the legacy of colonialism continues to impact Ghana's development trajectory. Ghana, once known as the Gold Coast, is now grappling with poverty. It's like being named Usain Bolt and coming last in a race. The roots of poverty in Ghana are deep and tangled, much like the roots of an old baobab tree. I am very poetic here now, yeah? And just like a tree, it's going to take more than a quick trim to solve the problem. So, you might be lost. The colonization of Ghana by the British Empire, the subsequent Anglo-Ashanti Wars, and the looting of cultural artifacts have left indelible marks on the nation. These historical events, coupled with socioeconomic challenges, contribute to the current state of poverty in this country. British Empire colonized Ghana, attracted by its abundant resources. Well, I know, at that time it wasn't called Ghana, let's make it simple. The aftermath of this colonization and the socioeconomic challenges that ensued contribute to the poverty of the country, once known as the Gold Coast, and it grapples with it today. Dear listeners, thank you for being with me, and meet Andrea Andia on her Etsy or wherever. You can go to Mikkeli and buy some stuff from her, because that's where she's spending her time right now. She's in her shop. Oh, she said shop in her shop, but you can go online to her shop and you can see how she set her shop in the shop in her line. Alright, so take care, dear listeners. Come back to our Patreon. We have some specials for you. And meet your ears next time.
This has been the Neoborn and Andia Human Show.